The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Vayakel. In the past number of parashas, we have been dealing with the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and everything that had to do with it, the Mishkan and the Mikdash. Generally, it is the opinion of people that when it comes to the Mikdash, the Mishkan, Korbanei sacrifices, and so forth, we are dealing with Vorim She'emdim Berumei Shalelom, with things that stand very high. And even though this is true, but from another perspective, this subject actually deals with the Kedusha of the Olam HaShofel, the Olam HaTachton, with the sanctification of the very, very much so, what we would call the Olam HaShofel, the Olam HaTachton, the lowest of the worlds, and the most physical of the worlds. There are three worlds, we are taught. There's the Olam HaShofel VaHatachton, physical world, the Olam HaEmtzoi, the middle world. Middle world is the world of the sun and the moon, the stars and the planets. And then there is the Olam HaElyon, the higher worlds, which are the totally spiritual worlds. The Inyonim of the Mikdash, the subjects dealt here with the building of the sanctuary and everything that went on in the sanctuary, does not have to do with the sanctification of the Olam HaElyon, the sanctification of the most higher worlds, most highest worlds, or of the middle world. But rather, contrary to common opinion, it has to do with the sanctification of the lowest of the worlds. For example, we have in the beginning of Parshas Truma, the Torah tells us what we should gather together here that will be needed. Zeis HaTruma, Zohov, Chesiv and Nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, Kelis Bar Golman, Veselah Shoni, Veshesh V'Izim, various types of materials, of wools, of linens, of goat's hair, Oris Eilim Ma'adomim, Oris Techoshim, skins of animals, Atzei Shitim, wood, timber. Now here we're speaking not of Dvorim HaEmdim Berumei Shalelom. We're not speaking of things that are in the highest of the worlds. We're not speaking of spirits, of angels. We're rather speaking of gold, of silver, of copper, of woolen materials and linen materials, of skins, of timber, Shemen Lamo'or, oil, Abnei Shohab, Abnei Meluim, of precious stones. These are all materials, elements, minerals of the physical world, of the lowly physical world. The same holds true in the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. What did they come from? They came from the tzon, the bokor, from the sheep, from the cattle. These are farm animals. Chitin u'seorim, they came from wheat, from barley. Shemen v'yayin, from oil and from wine. Wood was used, to make fires on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, the altar, was made of Avonim Vadom, was made from stone, was made from the earth. And if we go a little further, in the desert, the Mishkan had no permanent place. It was moved from one place to another. But eventually, it was established in its permanent place, which was in Eretz Yisrael, Dafke, only Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, only Yerushalayim, Har HaBayis, a particular mountain in Yerushalayim. Because there was the, and only there, was the proper Kedusha, the proper sanctification for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary. But there also, what kind of sanctification are we speaking about? The sanctification of Eretz Yisrael is known as Kedushas HaOretz, sanctification of the land. The particular mitzvahs that Eretz Yisrael has over other lands, the Mishnah refers to as mitzvahs hatluyis ba'oretz, mitzvahs which have to do with the land, mitzvahs which have to do with agriculture, with crops that grow from the land. And this is all referred to as Kedushas HaMokom, the sanctification of that particular physical place. This also was the Maila, the special dimension in Eretz Yisrael. Kedushas HaMokom, Kedushas HaOretz, the sanctification of the physical place, of the physical land. So we're not speaking of something that is taking place in the heavens, or something that's taking place far above us, but to the contrary, we're speaking of the lowest levels of the worlds that we know. And this is why the Gemara tells us at the end of Masechet Ksubos, Reb Chiya bar Gamda, Bignader bar Achor. Reb Chiya bar Gamda, the Gemara there is speaking about Chibas HaOretz, the love for Eretz Yisrael. Reb Chiya bar Gamda used to roll in the dust and kiss the earth of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because in Tehillim it states, Ki rotzu avodecho es avoneho ves afori yichoneneho. Because the dust of Eretz Yisrael, the stones of Eretz Yisrael, have Kedusha. That is where the sanctification is. So, contrary to common belief that when we speak of these subjects, Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan, sanctuary, we are speaking about, in Yiddish there's a saying, Krichin, Krichin Arayin in Himmel. That contrary, we are not speaking about someone crawling into the heavens, but just to this, but just the antithesis. We're rather, we are sanctifying the lowest levels of the worlds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. The sheep, the goats, the cattle, the gold, the silver, the timber. Medrash tells us many of these things were nivra bishvil hamikdosh. They were created for this purpose. And those that were not created specifically for this purpose, but became sanctified for this purpose. In actuality, this portrays the greatness of the kedusha of this sanctification. If we give thought to it. Because generally, we would say that sanctification is limited to something of great height. Sanctification is in the heavens, or it's by the sun or the stars. The fact that there can be sanctification at the lowest levels of the world, even you take a piece of land or a metal or an animal, this shows you the greatness of the sanctification. So in actuality, the sanctification is from the greatest levels, from the fact that it can sanctify even the lowest levels. But we are not speaking here of sanctifying that what is high, but to the contrary. The whole heart of the subjects of the Migdosh V'Hakodesh is that of sanctifying the lowest levels in the world. This is a concept which, even though might be foreign to many people, is very, very important. The Mishnah Masechta Ovis in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph, the basic part of this shiur will dwell on Mishnah Yud Aleph and Mishnah Yud. Therefore, I think it would be easier for many to follow if they look at the Mishnah inside. There are sidurim on the tables. It's Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph, and then Mishnah Yud. In the Art Scroll sidurim, it's on page 560. It might be some of the Mishnais are not all numbered in the same way. Is it you? It's Mishnah Yud Aleph, Reb Lezer Amadiyah. Reb Lezer Amadiyah says, "Amachal es hakadoshim," someone who desecrates the kadoshim. The kadoshim is what we are referring to. This refers to the sanctuary in general. In particular, it refers to, there was a mitzvah on the Kahanim, also on the Israelim at times, to eat from the sacrifices. And that was known as Besar Kodesh, that was known as Kodoshim, meat that was sanctified. If someone would be Mechalal HaKadoshim, he despises, he desecrates this. Bamavazes HaMayados. And he shames the Moados. These are the Yom Tovim, Shreishu Regolim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Both the first days, or the last days in the Chol HaMoed. Ba'malbim p'nei chaveira barabim. And someone who publicly embarrasses his friend. Ba'mefer b'risei shel Avraham Avinu. And someone who rebels against the bris of Avraham Avinu, the bris milo, the circumcision, and someone who megaleponim b'teira shel kahalocha means that he expounds the Torah. He expounds the Torah with an inaccuracy, incorrectly. Afal pishi yesh b'yodo Torah ma'asim tovim, even though that he has in his hands Torah and deeds, ein lechelek le'olam habo, he will not have a portion in the world to come. Actually, this mission is difficult to understand from onset, because here it's speaking about a person who desecrates the Kodoshim, he shames the Yom Tovim, he embarrasses his friend publicly, he rebels against the Bris of Avraham Avinu, he expounds the Torah inaccurately. So we're speaking here, it would seem, about a Rosha, a very wicked person. Then it tells us, even though he has in his hands Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, He's full of Torah and he's full of deeds. So this is something that will need explanation, but in Yirtzeh Hashem it will be explained. The Maralmi Prague has an elaborate beer explanation on this. He says as follows. We're speaking here of five different things. Five different things that have Kedusha, that have sanctification. And this person desecrates each one. And each one has a different level of Kedusha, of sanctification. The first one is dealing with Kadoshim, the subject that we are speaking about. The second one is dealing with the Yom Tovim, the Moadim. Actually, the Moadim have to do with the Zmanim, with times. Then we have one that deals with the Torah. It's another Kedusha. And then we have two that deal with man, where either he embarrasses his fellow man publicly, or he rebels or annuls the bris shel Avraham Avinu, the circumcision. So two have to do with men. Now, as we mentioned before, there are three worlds. There's the Olam HaShofel, the physical world, at its simple physical level. The sanctification, which is brought out in the physical world, at its simple physical level, is the Kadosh, like we explained. Then we have the Olam Emtzoi, a middle world, where the sun is, the moon, the stars, the planets. That's the world that creates movement and time. Movement comes from there because that's the solar system. And everything in the solar system moves. And everything in the solar system moves not only in according to time, but that's what creates time. Time is the measuring and the calculation of the movement of all of the bodies in the solar system. So that's the world that creates time and movement. That world also has a Kedusha, and that is what is known as Kedusha Hazman. We have sanctification of time. There are certain times which are chol, and certain times which are kodesh. Certain times which do not have sanctification, and other times which do. The Yom Tovim, this is the sanctification of the Zmanim, of the times. So the second Kedusha we're speaking about is the Kedusha which comes from that world. Kedusha Zman. See, Zman is not something which is a simple physical concept, like an animal or a piece of metal. Then we have another world, Olam Elyon, the highest world, which is totally a non-physical world. It's referred to as the Olam Elyon. Sometimes it's referred to as also an Olam Habo, the world to come is like that. It is there that the Torah comes from. Torah doesn't come from the physical world, doesn't come from the middle world, it comes from that world. That's a higher level of Kedusha. That's Kedushas HaTorah. And that's mentioned in the Mishnah. This person who rebels against the Torah. Megalaponim b'teira shalei kahalocha. Then we have man. Now man is a world by himself. Because man is not from the physical world. He's not from the spiritual world. But rather man was created and is a unity of both worlds. And the Torah tells us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, so by Yitzhara Odom, Ofer Min Adoma, he created him from the earth, by Yipach Ba'apov, Nishmaskai, and he blew into his nostrils a soul from above. And man became now a unit. So you cannot say that man is from the Olam HaTachton, from the lowly physical world, nor can you say he's from the spiritual world. But he was created from both worlds, and he's a unit by himself. States man is an Olam Koton, he's a world by himself. And therefore he has both elements and ingredients in him. He has an aspect of physical, and he has an aspect of something higher of spiritual. And man is mentioned in this Mishnah on two accounts. First of all, the bris of Avraham Avinu. The bris of Avraham Avinu, the circumcision, that is the sanctification of physical man. Then is mentioned Malbin Pnei Chaveiro. Berabim, someone who publicly embarrasses his fellow man. Now that, the Gemara tells us, is a terrible avera. Why? Because it states that when a person embarrasses his fellow man, it's ki'ilu shefer dam. It's as if he's spilling blood. Ozel sumke, but ozel chiure. The redness of the face leaves and he becomes pale. Just like when someone kills someone, heaven forbid, his color leaves and he becomes a deathly pale. So we see it's kishefech dam. What is so terrible about shvichas domim? So this is a question you have to ask today, because people will ask it, what's so terrible? We see it all of the time. What's so terrible about murder? The Torah tells us, it says, ki butzelem elakim osas ha'odum. What is so terrible about shvichas domim, about murder? Today you have people that want to equate people to their pet animals. Not so. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that the reason why a murderer, a shefer dam, should be put to death is because he has killed the man that I have created in my own image. This is what it states in Parshas Noach, when Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah to Noach not to kill a man. He said, because kibitzelem elakim osu asod, because I have made man in my image. That is what is so terrible about shvichas domim, killing a human being. And the Maral explains that the tzelem, the image, where does it say about the image of Hashem? It says after when he came to create man, he says, let us create him in our image. This was the highest level that was given to man. After he created him from the earth, and he blew a soul into him, he gave him his image. Bitzalmeinu kidmuseinu. And the image of the Almighty manifests itself through the Or Ponov, through the radiance which is on a man's face. And that's why we find that when a man dies, the image leaves him immediately. Immediately the radiance leaves and he turns a deathly pale. That's why the Gemara says that a malbin es penei chaveiro berabim, someone who publicly embarrasses a person and he turns pale, ozel sumke ve'ozel chiure, the radiance leaves him and he becomes pale. What he is doing is that he, for that instant, is killing the tzelem elokim, the image of man, the image of Hashem that's in man. So therefore, therefore, we have here all three worlds represented, and then we have man represented from two perspectives. One, from the fact that he's from the physical world, and secondly, from the fact that he's from the spiritual world. Now, this individual that we're talking about doesn't have to be one individual that does everything. Many times we can find that some individuals do one or two or three of these things, and others do others in here. But this that we're speaking about is speaking about a person desecrates, or he shames, or he rebels against Kedusha, sanctity, on these various levels. Mahalasak Kedoshim, he desecrates the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Beis Hamikdash and the sacrifices. Or the Moados, the sanctity of the Zmanim, of the Yom Tovim, of the special times. Or the Torah, the sanctity of the Torah. Or the Bris of Avraham Avinu, which is in man. Or Malbim Pnei Chaveiro, or he embarrasses his fellow man. Now, why should a person do this? And what is the relation between all of these things together? What kind of person are we speaking about? So the Maral says we're speaking about a person and again, we said we must be speaking about a person who is not the plain Rosh or the plain evil person. Because it states, even though he has Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, Biyoda, in his hands he has Torah and deeds. We're speaking about a person who wants to the contrary. One would, when we would first read this Mishnah, we would think he's an individual who's contrary to all Kedusha, to all sanctity. No, just to the contrary. We're speaking of a person who wants Kedusha. He wants sanctification. But he wants a Kedusha Yisera. He wants too much sanctification. Shlema Melech, King Solomon said, it's important for a person to be a tzaddik. It's important for a person to be righteous. Ba'al tiyat tzaddik harbe. But a person shouldn't be too righteous. Similarly, a person must be sanctified, but he should not be too sanctified. This is a person who wants the higher worlds, who has a great, who is drawn greatly to the higher worlds. Because of this, he finds difficulty in seeing Kedusha, sanctification, in the lower worlds. Like the Mishnah tells us, he is Mavaza, he is Mechal Les HaKadoshim. He has a difficult time understanding and adjusting to the Beis HaMikdash and the sacrifices. How can you take an animal and say it's Kodesh? How can you take the meat of the Beis HaMikdash and make a mitzvah from it? How can you take gold and silver and copper and wool and linen and stones and give it Kedusha, sanctification? Kedusha is in that world, but not when we're speaking in the Olam HaShofel, in the lowly physical world. Therefore, he does not give this importance. Mevazes HaMoedes, when it comes to the Yom Tovim, the same thing. Now, we're not speaking of an Arvayam, someone who doesn't keep mitzvahs. He keeps mitzvahs, he keeps Yantav. But he'll tell you, for example, Yantiv, the mitzvah of Yantiv, the Gemara says Yantiv should be Chatzi Lochem and Chatzi Lashem, half for you and half for Hashem. He tells us the main part of Yantiv is for Hashem. The half that you do for yourself, what is that half? States it's a mitzvah on Yantiv to eat well, it's a mitzvah on Yantiv to drink well, it's a mitzvah on Yantiv to wear beautiful clothing. He says, that there's not great mitzvah in. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you permission to do these things. like some rite. There has to be some time when a man can celebrate. So he gave a Jew Yom Ta'ivim to celebrate. There has to be some times when he should indulge. So he should indulge in eating and drinking and buy nice clothing. Gave him Yom Tov. But what are the main mitzvahs of Yom Tov? The main mitzvahs are Yom Tov. Oh, the davening on Yom Tov. And perhaps the learning on Yom Tov. Or whatever else we might do. The Chatzi Lashem, but not the Chatzi Lochem. That is a Mavazes HaMayadis, the Gemara says. That's shaming the Mayadis. States if a person does not eat well on Yom Tov, and does not drink well on Yom Tov, and he does not dress in special clothing on Yom Tov, he shames the Mayadis. Actually, there's a logic, there's a nature in man that tells you not like that. It says that's not so important. It's more important that on Yom Tov you should be spiritual. This that were physical, this was given to the populace. Okay. This was for the Amaratzim. But the main importance is the spiritual aspect. That, the Gemara says, is a mavazes ha-maitis. He's shaving the maitis. Because the same mitzvah to be spiritual on Yom Tov is the same mitzvah to be physical on Yom Tov. The eating and the drinking and the simchas, the physical simcha, and the dressing. But here we're dealing with a person who is drawn to the spiritual, and therefore he has difficulty with this mitzvah. That's a mavazes ha-maidus. Then we have Mefer Bris Shel Avraham Avinu. He, a person who is against the Bris Shel Avraham Avinu. It doesn't mean that he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of circumcision, but it means that he has difficulty with this mitzvah of seeing the Kedusha, the sanctification of the Bris Shel Avraham Avinu in man. Because what is the sanctification of man? We would say the sanctification of man is his seichel, his intellect, his spirit, perhaps his heart. But how can we say that the sanctification of man is in the Bris Milah? That was given to man because of hechrich, because of necessity, but not because of kedusha, of sanctification. That's necessary for the world. Because without this, then the world would have no kiyum. Then the world could not continue, carry on. But that's not the sanctification of man. So how can there be a bris with Avraham Avinu, the covenant with Avraham Avinu, in the Bris Milah? So he has difficulty with this mitzvah also. And then he has difficulty with Malbin Espenei Chaveri Barabim. He embarrasses his fellow man. Why does a person, in first thought, you would think that you're dealing here with a great rosh that goes around and embarrasses his fellow man. But when we give more thought to it, why does a person embarrass someone? Because they are not choshuv. They are not important in his eyes. There is a nature in man that tells us, and again I'm speaking about people who keep Torah, Truma people. There's a nature in man that tells us what is important. The mitzvahs that one has to fulfill to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. The mitzvah of not doing work on Shabbos, the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of davening, the mitzvah of learning. This is important. But the laws that have to do with man and his fellow man, that does not have kiddush in it. You cannot say that business law has kiddush, has sanctity in it. You can't say dealings, mundane dealings and worldly dealings with man and his fellow man, that has sanctification in it. What kind of sanctification can that have? Lending money and buying and selling. Now, the kedusha, the sanctification, is in the mitzvahs bein adam lamokom, between man and Hashem. This, that we have all kind of laws. What I'm saying here, to reject, you should know, many hold and it's written. This, that we have all kind of laws which govern the dealings of men between themselves. This is because of hechrech. This is because of necessity. Not because of kedusha or sanctification. You want sanctification, then you have to kri harayin and himmel, you have to go up to the heaven. Not in the marketplace. And therefore man is secondary to him. And if man is secondary to him, so then he's prepared to shove man around, to push him around. And therefore he very easily is malbin panei chaveirei rabim. He very easily embarrasses the fellow man. Where is his mistake? His mistake, his whole philosophy is his mistake. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we have to respect man because Betzelem Elokim, because he is made in my image. When you respect Hashem, man, you are respecting Hashem. When you despise a man, you push him around, you're pushing Hashem around. This is what Avraham Avinu taught the people when he was speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Orchim came, travelers came, and Avraham told Hashem, wait, let me go take care of the travelers. And the Gemara asked, how can Avraham tell Hashem to wait and he should take care of the travelers? From here we see Kabbalas Pnei Orchim is Yesem Kabbalas Pnei Ashchina. To take care of other friends and travelers is more important than to take care of Hashem. And the Gemara says that's why. Because when you're speaking to Hashem, that's over there. But in man is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's image on this world. And that carries as much importance, if not more. So his error is that he thinks Kedusha is in the next world, in the higher worlds. And he cannot come to grips with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give these mitzvahs only because of necessity. They're not merely rules for the rules which were given merely for the needs of the market. They are the same mitzvahs as the other mitzvahs, if not even more great. And therefore, this person rebels against this also. Now, if we go into this a little deeper, why is this person making? So we see he's consistent. The mistake he's making is basically one. Why is he making this mistake? This goes back to what we said. Man was created with two powerful forces. The force of the earth and the force of the spirit. Ofer min Adoma, from the earth, and Nishmas Chaim, from the spirit of Hashem. Those two spirits, those two forces, are totally contrary to each other. One is from the earth and one is from the highest worlds. And because they're contrary to each other, they can constantly fight against each other. And they keep drawing man in different directions if he does not unify them and make a synthesis from them. This is a person that the spirit that he has from the upper worlds in him is too powerful, is overpowering the spirit and the elements that he has from the lower world. And therefore it constantly draws him to the upper world. And therefore he wants to be similar to the upper world. He wants to be like a malach, like an angel. And therefore when it comes to making peace with Kedusha that has to do with lower elements, it's impossible for him. So therefore he's Mechalel HaKadoshim. he cannot make peace with the whole subject of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Kedushas Hagashmius, the sanctification of the lowest levels of this world, of a goat, of a sheep, of an ox, and Mevazes Hamoedus. He cannot make peace with the Yom Tovim, the physical indulgence that should be a mitzvah of the Yom Tovim. If you want to say it's necessary is one thing, a reshus, an option, is another thing, but to say it's a mitzvah and kodosh, that he can't. Or in man himself, he cannot make peace with the brisei shel Avraham Avinu, that man should be sanctified with the circumcision. Or with Malbim Penei Chaveira Barabim, with the Kedusha, the enormous sanctification that every human being carries. This he cannot make peace with, because he is drawn and pulled too much to the higher worlds. Now, one other thing is mentioned here, and that's Megalaponim B'Teiri Shaleka Alocho, where he expounds Torah incorrectly. Shaleka Halocha. What does this mean? This also is very enlightening. Again, we are not speaking about a rosho, a person who is a totally wicked person, an avaryan, a person who does not keep mitzvahs, like the Mishnah says, even though he has Torah and mitzvahs. To the contrary, he wants a Kedusha Yisera, he wants an extra dimension of sanctification. So then how does he justify his thoughts and his ideology with that which is stated in the Torah? All of these mitzvahs, which he seems to be contrary, he seems to be diametrically opposed to, are all explicitly written in the Torah. So the answer is, he distorts the meaning of the Torah to suit his ideology, like unfortunately we see many, many people always do in various ideologies. You have those people who deny the Torah. You have other people that created ideologies which are alien to Torah's emes, but they brought the Torah as a proof to them. He distorts, and he manipulates, and he perverts the meaning of the Torah. And this is what megaloponim b'torah shaleka halocha means. This means someone, not who denies Torah, but he uses Torah incorrectly to suit his own needs. And he says, yes, sure, the Torah said that you should eat and drink on Yom Tov, but that was in order that a few times a year we can satisfy our physical needs. It's necessary. Psychologically, it's good, but not that there's a sanctification in it. And so forth and so on. So he's megaloponim b'teiri shaleka halocha, and in this way, he's even rejecting the kedusha of the Torah, because he cannot make peace with the fact that the Torah could give such mitzvahs that have to do with this level of the world. It's interesting. Now, this is what the Chazal tell us now. Now, I would say that a person like this, look, he's a fine Jew. He wants a little too much. He's a frumer Jew. He's a tzaddik. He's just a little too much tzaddik. He's a little too filled for this world. Too much for this world. So I would say that a Jew like this is a good Jew. Except, he's a little out of balance. But so what? Now the Tana tells us something very strong. It says, "Afal pi sheyesh biyado Torah u'maasim tovim." Even though this person is full of Torah, and he's full of mitzvahs, ein lechelek la'olam haba, he has no portion in the world to come. The Tana is not saying, like we're saying, that he's a fine Jew, except he wants just a little too much. The Tana tells us that ein lechelek la'olam haba, he's not a ben olam haba. He's not fit for the next world. Because Torah is a perfect balance. Torah was given not for the upper worlds. Torah was given for this world. This is the discussion on Shavuos, when Torah was given between Moshe and the Malachim and the angels. The angels were very, very angry. They wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. They asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, how can you give a Ben Odom? How can you give a lowly human being with all of his Averis and all of his desires and his kinah and his jealousies and his envies, how can you give him the Torah HaKadosha, which is your most sacred jewel, created long before the creation of the world? Greatest dimensions in the heavens. But we can. Because the Torah says that you should not steal. Do angels steal? So what do they need the Torah for? Men steal, therefore they need the Torah. The Torah says that you should not be promiscuous. Is that a problem by angels? It's a problem by men. The Torah said that you should not worship idols. You have idols up here. And so on and so on. The Kiddusha of the Torah was brought out by coming into this world and sanctifying it at all levels in this world. And the more that you could sanctify, the lower the level that you can sanctify this world with, brings out the greatest dimensions in Torah. Like we said about the Mikdash, from one aspect, the Mikdash is not speaking about the heavens, the Mikdash is speaking about the lowest levels of this world. But that shows the greatest sanctification in the mitzvahs of the Torah. And it is with this that a person becomes a Ben Olam Haba. He is able to go into the next world. So therefore, if a person in this world does not use Torah to bring a Kedusha sanctity to these levels, so even though he has Torah Maisim Tovim B'Yodai, Ein Leichelek Leilam Haba, he is not a Ben Olam Haba. He is not fit for the next world. It's interesting, someone showed me recently, there's a Rav Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Reb Shlomo Volva. He's a Zokin, a very old person, a Litvak. And he writes very often against what all the Litvish Rosh Yeshivas have been speaking about for the last 30 years. What they call Frumkeit. Not where it's the practice of Torah, but the practice of Frumkeit. So he writes elaborately on it, but it's very interesting, because one point he brings out, Frumkeit is similar to what we're saying, when a person goes off the path of Torah, and he wants a Kedusha Yisera, he wants an extra dimension of sanctification, which is not like the Torah demanded. So what interested me, though, is that he writes, where does it come from? He says, where does it come from, this desire for Frumkeit? We can understand where a desire for eating something that's not kosher comes from. See? A desire for mother Averos. But this also is an Avera. Where does it come from? What is the cause of this Avera? So he says this is instinctive in the person. And a proof he brings, you find it by the nations of the world also. You found it by the Galochim. There was always a desire for Frumkeit in the world, even by the nations of the world. He says this is instinctive. This is what the Maral is saying. Because just like a person instinctively wants to be drawn into the physical world, and why is that? Because of the physical force in man, instinctively also he wants to be drawn up to the spiritual world because of the spiritual force of man. His job was to make peace between the two and to be ma'achid, to unite them. But if not, then he's drawn to one or the other. So therefore, the quest and desire for what we would call this Kiddushi Yisera, Tzadik Yosef, this Frumkeit, actually is instinctive, because he has a spiritual force in him. And therefore the spirit always draws him to the non-physical world. And therefore he cannot make peace with the physical world. That's this Mishnah. The Maral says, it's interesting to note, that if we go to the Mishnah before, we will find just the converse. The Mishnah before is Reb Deisa ben Hurkinus Emir. If a person sleeps too late in the morning. Now, we're speaking of things that a person does, but this Mishnah is speaking where he does them out of proportion. There's nothing wrong with sleeping. Sleeping is from the great brochas that was given to man. But Shena Shel Shachris is where it's a Shina Yisera. It's more sleep than he should be getting into the late hours of the morning. The Yain Shel Tzohoroim. Same thing with wine. There's nothing wrong with wine. Wine is the great brochas that was given to man. It states, Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh. Yain, wine, brings happiness and merriment to the heart of man. But if a person has Yain Yisera, Yain Shel Tzohoroim. Tzohoroim is in the fullness of the day. As the day reaches noon, that's not the time for wine. Time for wine was towards evening, when the man has finished his labor and he's resting. This was the time for wine. But a person who drinks wine during the fullness of the day, in other words, it's Yain Yisera. This is, he's becoming already a drunkard. That's the second thing that's mentioned. Sichas Hayelodi. A person who spends a lot of time in idle conversation with children. And a fourth thing, Yeshivas Botik in Yisrael Yishalami Oretz. The fourth thing mentioned is he is found in gatherings of the ignorant. Metzinas Odom in Olam. This also will drive man out of the world. Now here also we have a very enlightening observation. From one aspect, it says that this will drive him out of the world. So you should think that this person is a great avayan, a person who does all kind of averas. But if you look into this Mishnah, not one avera is mentioned. He's doing no averas. He's sleeping. So you sleep late in the morning. It's not an avera. If you want to say that he got up too late for Krishna or for Tefillah, then it should state that. It should state someone who's mevatel Krishna and Tefillah. Doesn't say that. It says he sleeps late. It's not an Aveira. Yain Shel Tzohoroim. Doesn't say he's drinking non-kosher wine. He's drinking kosher wine. Except he's drinking it during the day. It's not an Aveira. Sichas Hayalodi. Spends time in idle conversation with children. All right, it's not recommended, but it's not an Aveira. Or Yeshivas Botik in Yisrael Shalamei Oretz, he associates with gatherings of the ignorant. But it's not an Aveira. So here also we have an interesting observation. From one aspect it states that Meitzines Odom in Olam, this will drive him from the world. From the other aspect, we're speaking here about someone who doesn't do Averas. What is the explanation? So the Maral says this is contrary, just the converse of the other Mishnah. Just like you have people that the spiritual power, force, that Hashem put in man, overpowers them, and they're drawn to totally spiritual endeavors, non-physical. They forsake the physical world. They're drawn to Olam Elyon, Olam Abo, and they forsake Olam Hazeh. That was the Mishnah before. We should know that we also have a very great physical force in man. Man is made min ha'adam, is made from the earth with physical forces. And that tries to draw him to Olam Hazeh, that tries to draw him to the physical world and to forsake the spiritual world. So this is just the converse. And also we should know that there are two types of roos, two types of evil in the world. There's one that's evil because it's evil. That we don't have to go far in our world to look for it. Where was its source? Its source was when Adam and Chava, the first man and woman, they ate from the tree, Eitz Hadas Tevara. They ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There they brought evil into themselves. Now, evil into themselves and evil into the world. Because of that, man is driven to do evil. But there's another type of wrong in the world, but it's not evil. It doesn't come from there. And that is merely because man is created physically. He's drawn back to his source, to the earth, to the physical world. It's not evil with the name of Ra, of evil. But he's drawn back to the physical world that he was created from. And this is what we are speaking about. We're speaking about the second level. And man, like we've mentioned before, he has three sections to him. He has the physical body, and he has the nefesh, the lev, the heart, and he has the seichel, the intellect. Now, man was given the body. Why was he given a physical body? For pu'ula, to work, to do good things, to be asik v'yeshuva shalaylam, to work, to settle the world, to do mitzvahs, to do chesed. This is why he was given his body. But it's not the body that does the work. It's the spirit that mobilizes the body. If you will ignore the spirit, then the body will be like the Adoma, like the earth. And the earth is daimen. The earth is silent, and the earth does not move. Now, when man is drawn to too much sleep, he is totally demobilizing his body. He's demobilizing and demotivating his body. And he becomes like the earth. It's an interesting medrash. The Maral brings medrash Rabba Breishis Rabba Perches. B'shoa shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu esa Adam, tov malachi ha'shoris u'bikshe Elohim elafon of kodosh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, the angels saw a man, and they never saw anything like that before. They thought he's a god, and they wanted to say kodosh before him. Moshe lemar devadema. This is to give an illustration. A king was riding down in his chariot together with his prime minister. And the people didn't know who was the king and who was the prime minister. So they started to cheer for the prime minister. What did the king do? He pushed them out of the chariot. When they saw him fall to the ground, oh, then they knew who was the king and who was the prime minister. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the angels started to look at man and they wanted to say Kodesh, they wanted to hail the man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed them down and brought sleep on him. Once they saw man was sound asleep, oh, they said, no, now we know who is God and who is man. When man sleeps, this is the beetle of Adam. This is the moment, the temporary destruction of man. Because what is man? Man is a body with a heart, with an intellect, with a spirit, and he's motivated and mobilized to go and work. What happens when he sleeps? The spirit is not there. The motivation is not there. The mobilization is not there. Everything is cut down, dimmed down to low gear. And it's just the body. And the body becomes like the earth that sleeps. So therefore, if a person, sleep is good. Sleep is a brocha to refresh the body. If it's a sleep which is for mobilization and motivation, then it's good. But when it's a sleep merely for the fact to overindulge in the sleep, he becomes like the earth himself. That's the beetle order. That becomes the destruction of man. That becomes the destruction of his body. Then there's a second part to man. And he said that's his heart. The heart was created to serve, to give emotions to man, and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with one's heart. Wine is good for a person. But if he overindulges in wine, what happens then? This is the destruction of the heart. This totally perverts and distorts the emotions of man. And it becomes the beetle of Adam. This is also a destruction to man in his heart. If the wine is taken properly, just like the sleep is taken properly, then it gives strength to the body, and the wine gives strength to the heart. It gives strength to the emotions. It brings simcha, brings happiness to him. But if he's nimshach, if he's drawn to it too much, and he overindulges, then it destroys him. Then we have the greatest part of man, the sechelod, the intellect. The intellect was given to man for wisdom. The chochma, bina v'das. For all the levels of wisdom, knowledge, intelligence, and so forth. How does man acquire wisdom? It states, he who is yeshev etzel hazakeni. When you go to the elders does not mean necessarily old people, but zeshekona chochma, wise people. Generally, wisdom many times comes with age. It takes age to have wisdom. But where does man get wisdom from? From the zakeni. What happens if man spends his time in frivolous, empty talk and conversation with Yelodim, with the youth that have no wisdom? So this is just contrary to a seichel. And this is the destruction and the demotivation and the demobilization of the intellect of man. So we have here that in all three facets, this person is not doing averus. But he's just not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He was given a body and a heart, and he was given a mind to create worlds, to take his spirit where it should mobilize everything and become creative. Instead, he's drawn totally after physical man. He ignores the spirit in himself, and he becomes non-creative. He becomes totally immobilized. He sleeps, he drinks, and he spends his time talking to children and young people. Now there's one other aspect of man. Till now we were speaking of man as an individual. But man also has an aspect as part of the kehila, part of the tzibur, part of the group, which gives him extra dimensions. For example, states that if a man sits and learns, it's a wonderful thing. But states, if there are 10 people that are learning, so then there's an extra dimension of Shechina Shrui B'nayim, then the Shechina Shrui B'nayim. If a man davens, it's a wonderful mitzvah. But if he comes to a shul where there's a tzibur, that's a greater mitzvah. So there's another perspective of man, not as an individual, but where he can come to greater heights through association. Now, what kind of association should he have? You know, today, you ask people, what kind of association should you have? They'll tell you what clubs they belong to. See? They'll tell you, well, I belong to this club, and I belong to that club, and I belong to this group, and so forth and so on. Man can associate with a group, with a club, that brings extra dimensions of greatness to him. Like we just said. Man, on the other hand, can associate with groups and clubs that brings emptiness to him and totally destroys that aspect, that creative ability that was given to him. If a man comes into a Beis HaMedrash where people are learning, if he goes to a shul where people are davening, and he associates with great people, and he associates with people that do great things, and with righteous people, so now man grows even further. But what happens if his associations are with ignorant groups, or empty groups, or merely social? So that's the fourth item that's mentioned in this Mishnah, Yeshivas Botik in the Siyo Yishalami Oretz. So if this individual now that we're talking about, he's not doing Averus, but instead of letting his spirit create in him, he is totally ignoring his spirit, and he's being drawn to the physical world, and he's drawn into sleep, abundance of sleep, overabundance of sleep, overabundance of drinking, overabundance of chattering with children, and overabundance of association, empty associations. And therefore, Meitzinas Odom Min HaOlam, even though he hasn't done any Averus, this will drive him out of the world. Because what he was given in this world was a physical structure with a spirit to achieve. And he's not utilizing the spirit, but becoming drawn to the physical world. Now, what do we learn from all of this? We learn that there were two great forces that are placed in man. And these forces encompass all of the worlds. Encompasses the lower worlds and the higher worlds. And with this, man was given the ability, the opportunity to build worlds. He's the Bechir HaNivroim, the greatest of the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But these two forces are contrary to each other, and they pull them apart. One was the force, the physical force in man that came from the earth, and the other is the spiritual force in man that came from the higher worlds. And one pulls him to the higher worlds to forsake this world, and the other pulls him to this world to forsake the higher world. And neither is good. Many times you have ideologies, not many times, most of the time you have ideologies that choose one between one and the other. And neither are good. And both will destroy man. Not only if he's drawn into the physical world and he forsakes his spirit in the spiritual levels, but even if he's drawn to the spiritual levels and he forsakes the physical world, this also will destroy him. Ein lo chelek le'olam haba. This cannot bring him to the next world. What can bring him to the next world? Only if he unites these two forces and he makes one out of them and he becomes an individual in totality where he can bring both worlds together. He can go and reach for the highest levels of sanctity, the highest spiritual levels, but bring it down into the lowest levels of this world, the lowest levels of himself, and in this way he elevates himself. And then he's a Ben Olam Habo. Then he prepares himself for the world to come. But if not, then he either drives himself out of the world, or he has no portion in the world to come. This is man's task in this world. See, this is Torah. This is what Torah teaches us. One aspect of that is what we learn in these parshas, the Mikdash and the Kodesh. But that's a very important aspect, because that's the illustration of going into the highest levels of the spiritual world and bringing that Kedusha down to the very lowest levels of the physical world. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell you, bring me spiritual sacrifices, worship me spiritually like angels. No. He said, bring the ox and bring the sheep and bring the goat and bring the wool and bring the flax and bring the gold and the silver and the copper. But with that, you can elevate everything in this world and all of those elements in yourself, where the person becomes totally a great individual. So this is what we learn from these parshas of the Mikdash and the Kodesh. And in general, this is what we learn about man himself. This is the life's work of man, to unite these two powerful forces in himself.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.